Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Reason for a celebration or what?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Exclamation point.
Passage for this morning comes from Matthew. Chapter 20, verse 17. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Please stand and join me in prayer. Father, there's no words of thanks that are sufficient for the resurrection, Lord. It changes everything in our lives. But we do thank you, Lord. And we ask that this day we might honor you with our praises, Lord. We might honor you with our hearts, that we would honor you with our lives, Lord God. Let the celebration begin. In the name of Jesus, all God's children said, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. All right, before the resurrection, there was a cross and a sacrifice. I'm going to have some Bible trivia. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is the offering up of something precious for a cause or a reason. So when God gave his son Jesus, precious one and only son, he gave it to us to redeem us. What is an atonement? Big theological word. What is an atonement? It is satisfying someone or something for an offense committed. So with this in mind, I'm going to share Leviticus 17:11. This is God speaking to Moses about the sacrificial system. He's saying, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." So we don't like to talk about blood in our culture. It's kind of gross and icky. But God placed a special importance on blood, and especially in the context of the sacrificial system, that blood gives life. And when you make a sacrifice, when it's shed in a sacrifice, it is an atonement, and it covers an offense committed against God. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." And in the Old Testament, you guys probably know this, the priest would sacrifice and make tons and tons of sacrifices to God each year. How many sacrifices do you think they made? Millions, right? Millions of sacrifices. And yet, none of those ever saved anybody. They only pointed to Christ. All those sacrifices only pointed to Christ. The great theologian Jonathan Edwards said this, "Though millions of sacrifices had been offered, yet nothing was done to purchase redemption before Christ's incarnation. So nothing was done after his resurrection to purchase redemption for men, nor will there be anything more done to all eternity." So we no longer have to offer sacrifices to atone for our sins because Jesus did it on the cross. He said, "It is finished." There's nothing that we have to do. There's nothing anybody can do for all eternity because he already did it. Jesus paid it all, and let's praise him together.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left, sin had left a crimson stain, washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Let's praise him together.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. We can't even imagine the suffering that you must have gone through, and that your blood was shed on the cross to atone for our sins, to cover us, and not only just cover us, but to redeem us. You've bought us for yourself, for your glory. Lord, we thank you that your blood has washed away our sin, that has cleansed us, that has made us whole. Thank you for redeeming us from death and giving us eternal life. And it's in you alone that our hope is found. We praise your name. Amen.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross has Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no power of hell,
the hope that we have in Christ, that he redeemed us, that he bought us with his blood, that he's preparing a kingdom for us to enjoy him forever. I'm going to read this passage real quick before we go to the next song. This is a book of Revelation. So this is a picture of what's going to happen in the future. And this is a picture of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. He purchased men for God from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation with his blood. And then we see in Revelation 7, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. Tons of people, guys. They were wearing white robes, were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Our God is worthy. This is a liturgical song. It's now on the radio. You may have heard it, but it's called "Is He Worthy?" And you sing a part, and then you reply. It's kind of like the person sings and the congregation replies, but you can feel free to sing both parts. I'm going to do that as well. But it's called "Is He Worthy?"
Do you feel the world is broken? shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves.
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Well, is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of our blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. He is. He is worthy.
Worthy of our lives. Let's come to him. Let's come to the altar where his arms are open wide for us to receive his forgiveness that he purchased, that he bought with his blood.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness
Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We'll come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious of Jesus Christ.
One more time.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for buying us from sin and death, Lord, for purchasing us for yourself, for your glory. Lord, that we have forgiveness of sins, that we don't have to make sacrifices because you gave the ultimate sacrifice. You gave something precious. You gave your son so that we could be in a relationship with you. The curtain was torn. Lord, Jesus was risen from the dead so that we don't have to fear death. He made the mark and showed that he truly is your son, Lord. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, we worship you. We praise you this morning. Pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning through your word. And Lord, pray for Pastor Darren that you just encourage him and help him to have the right words to say from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Forgiveness. What if I borrow one of these music stands? Is it okay? Thanks, my friend. Thanks. All right. Good morning, everybody. We're going to take a minute to pray for some folks. So let's just open up in prayer and let's just pray. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for each person here. Lord, you've brought them here to hear a message, Lord. And I just pray that you would be able to share your message, Lord, supernaturally. You would reveal truth in the hearts, in the minds of each person here today, Lord God. I pray that you would use whatever is said, Lord God, through the worship or through Gary or myself or Robbie and Jonathan, Lord, whatever that you want said would be spoken directly to you, to your people, Lord, from you, Lord God. I pray for your blessing, Lord. I know there's multiple families who've had some deaths in the families, Lord. And Lord, I just, you know all the ones I'm thinking about right now. Lord, I just pray your peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding would be upon their hearts, that you would provide your comfort to the families right now. I pray in Jesus' name that you would draw all eyes to yourself, Lord, that you would be their support, Lord, that they wouldn't run from you, but run to you instead, Lord God. Pray for your blessing over this service, Lord. I pray, Lord, even in my physically healthy state at the moment, Lord, you just give me the right mindset and just anoint me, Lord God. Give me your strength and purpose and vision, and that your word would be spoken today in a powerful way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are very, very glad that you guys are here. So thank you for coming on this Resurrection Sunday celebration. Soph, do you have the little mic? Little Soph, where is Sophie? Okay, Gary, oh, you're not little Sophie. Gary, you are definitely not little Sophie. Okay, you got the mic, though. I was going to ask how your outreach went. Is it okay to ask you that? Oh, we're going to give you, okay. So we just wanted to see how the outreach went. And
well, it was not well attended, as you can imagine, because we're doing ministry on a campus where people go there to get away from God, but God's there.
That's
so
right.
It's kind of a trick on them, because they're going to encounter God on that campus because we have a ministry there.
That's right.
And because God doesn't leave anywhere. He's obviously always working, especially through his remnant. And New College is one of those campuses where it's always the remnant of God.
Yeah.
It's not a large force. It's not a huge meeting. The Bible studies are very small. But those that we do have in attendance are faithful, and they're growing. And honestly, these outreaches and things that we do, I feel like it's more for the students that we're ministering to than for those that they're trying to get involved or to reach with the gospel. Because these students call themselves Christian, but many of them don't really have an understanding of the Bible themselves.
Right.
Or understand that their mission on campus is not just to get a degree, but to also be a missionary to their fellow classmates and to their professors. So a lot of the outreach ends up being more of us teaching and training our students how to do outreach. So Jonathan did go out and actually bring people into the auditorium where they were showing the case for Christ. And our students were like, oh, you can just invite people in? And Jonathan was like,
I should grab people off the street and said, come on into this outreach.
So it's just a lot of training and teaching. But that's what, I mean, God's patient with us. And we want it to be coming from a heart of love, that the students love their fellow students so much that they want them to hear about Jesus. We don't want it to be compulsory or something they feel they have to do to be good Christians. But because they love him, they want to share his love with others. So you can continue to pray for that campus. Jonathan was actually on campus more than me, but he reported back to me what happened.
And today you guys can be praying for us. We're going to be washing feet. That's right, washing feet. So New College is a hippie college. Everyone walks around without shoes, all barefoot. And so foot washing would actually be a good thing to do there. People have dirty feet. But we're going to wash feet to show the love of Christ, to show his servanthood, to show even a symbol of how cleaning the dirt off their feet is like his blood cleaning our sin, and be able to share that. So pray that we'd be a light. Pray that outreach would be effective. Every time we've done it, people have come out and heard the gospel and been just amazed by this act of love and servanthood. And people have been crying as they get their feet washed, and they come back year after year to do it. So please pray for us.
That's awesome. So if you guys did not receive if you didn't receive that text to pray for them, we're still working on the phone situation. So hopefully we'll have that resolved by the end of next week. If you didn't receive that text to be praying for them, those of you who did know what's going on here. But again, keep praying for them. Our church, us, we provided Case for Christ books that we gave away for the outreaches at the colleges. And so this is from a guy by the name of Lee Strobel, who I think was pretty much a self-proclaimed atheist and a news journalist from the Chicago Tribune, if you are unaware. And he went on a little, I would say, almost reverse crusade to prove Christianity false, and ended up getting saved himself, and now is an outspoken believer in Jesus Christ. So if anyone would like one of these books, Just raise your hand. Elijah, Joe, can you come over here, please? We're just going to give you these free in Jesus' name. All we ask is that you read it. Okay, there's for you. And there's a bunch here for you, Joe. All right, just raise your hand, and Jolton, Joe, and Elijah will get one to you. And they're just a gift in Jesus' name. No strings attached, okay? We just wanted to bless you. Okay, I've got one more up here. There's not enough. Here you go, Elijah. We need some more in the back. You're welcome. We give stuff away almost every week because we just want you to grow in the Lord. That's the main focus here at Home Fellowship Church. Yes. Oh, yes, Deb.
You two, you are an amazing couple. You have amazing children, too. Keep up the good work.
And Gary, I know this, and we're in the middle of service, and this has absolutely nothing to do with anything, but I think I found who had the camper key.
Really? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I think
it was it, Darren.
We don't need to get into details, Gary. We don't need to get into details, Mark. Just, that, I think that we have it, but if you would test that key just to make sure that works on the door, that's embarrassing. Okay, so, anyway, okay, so we have some free Panera Bread, if you guys didn't notice, way in the back corner over there. Keith is obviously hoarding all the goodies for himself, is that correct? Great, fantastic. There's a bunch of Panera goodies, excuse me. Take bread home. We've got literally bags and bags of fresh Panera Bread that we just picked up. So we want to encourage you to take that. It's also a gift free in Jesus' name. You're welcome to grab that. Also, we're not going to take up tithes and offerings. We don't want anybody to feel guilty or manipulated into giving. You guys know to give. There's a little bird box in the back hallway. You put your tithes and offerings in there, and we're happy to receive it in Jesus Christ's name. A couple things if you're interested. Mercy Me coming to concert here on Sunday, May 5th. If you're interested and want more information on that, you can contact the Joy FM. Excuse me. Hopefully I can make through this whole teaching here. I'm going to get a little glass of water here. So sorry. Also, Hillsong United coming to Tampa, May 11th. That was my accent there. You probably couldn't tell. And so if you were interested in going to that concert as well, I just want to say really quickly, thank you. If you guys weren't here for last Sunday's picnic, it was absolutely amazing. Honestly, so many people came up to me. Now listen, this isn't a guilt thing. So listen, if you couldn't make it or you were sick or you didn't, this isn't like, oh, now they're rubbing it in. This is just simply to say, when we have these events, just come out. So many people, it was probably the best one we've done. Nate did a fantastic job. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere around here. Yeah, just did a fantastic job teaching and sharing, cooking, market, everybody. So many people helping, serving. Some people said it was just like family. It was just probably the best one we've ever had. It was so, even my wife said, you know what? She came home, she goes, that was really special. So many people were helping, even the cleanup crew, so many people helping cleaning up. So special. So we just want to encourage you guys when we do these things. If you have pictures, I don't think of these things because I'm a knucklehead. And so I know I saw people taking pictures. Will you email them to me? Because I'll put them up here next Sunday. I did find out that somebody videotaped it and put it on our Facebook page, Home Fellowship Church Facebook page. So that was really, somebody said, somebody up in the middle of the state called and said, that was a great service. I said, what are you talking about? Your service, your picnic service. I said, how do you know about that? She's like, oh, I watched it I'm not on Facebook. So anyway, so thank you for whoever did that as well. But send me your pictures, okay? Send the pictures. Okay, baptism. We have about 8 or 9 people now that are giving, that are getting baptized, that have gotten saved and are making a profession for Christ. And that's going to be, Lord willing, this next Sunday, okay? But we're probably going to do it later after church, unfortunately, because all the places were reserved. So we're probably going to do it in the late afternoon, around 5:30 or so, right? Okay, and so we're going to bring you information on that next Sunday, and we'll text it. So we're going to do it later on in the evening, and we'll all get together for a cookout. Together we'll tell you exactly where. We'll have little maps and everything for you. But it'll be usually we go right after church. This time what we're going to do is we're going to do it around 5:30, and we'll all go out there together a little bit later in the afternoon. And it should be free. That's next Sunday, yes. And so it's very exciting. So please pray. If there's anyone else who wants to get baptized, we've been talking to every single person because we want to make sure that they know what they're doing. If there's anyone else who wants to get baptized, hey, Junior, you want to get baptized too? What? Woo! I think that's awesome. That would be absolutely amazing, son. If you would like to come out and join us, we could have Mom and Dad baptize you too. It would be great. I'll be there too. It would be an amazing time. We would love to have you. Very exciting. Yes, which beach? You know, all these details. Well, go ahead, Gary. Yes,
okay. Yeah, it's actually going to be on Coquina Beach on the Gulf side. It's near the north end of the beach. I believe it's the second entrance to the beach. There's a small hamburger, hot dog, taco kind of restaurant there in that. No pavilion. And so anyway, yeah. And we'll get maps together next week. Nathan, is that about right?
Sure, just the bus area.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a bus turnaround right there as well.
Yeah, I'll need a map because I have absolutely no idea.
We'll do maps.
Thank you.
We'll do maps, and we don't want you to miss it, Pastor.
Thank you. That would be fantastic. Very exciting. Would love to see it. Okay, if you guys would like to join us here Sunday mornings for prayer, 9 a.m., you can see Pastor Gary, for that. Also, second Tuesday of each month, 6:30 to 8:30, women's Bible study. Going through the book of Ephesians, and then also the men's Bible study. Oh, Lord, just get me through this day. That's the first and third Tuesdays here at 6 p.m. for dinner and 6:30 for Bible study. Man, it was, Gary, just to encourage you, wonderful teaching. It was, it was so awesome. Thank you. Okay, so the Whosoever's Two youth group. 6:30 to 8:30 here on Wednesdays, and it, just to encourage you, that Case for Christ, those who are reading you that book, I think at some point, I think Mr. Josh and Miss Amanda Panda are going to be showing a 6-session DVD series on that, the Case for Christ. Also, Mrs. Shettlebar, I know she's going over that with her class with the younger kids, and it's going to be great. So take the time and read that. But Whosoever's Youth Group on Wednesdays. We're going to be starting, people have been asking, when are we going to start a new Thursday Bible study? It's been a week. We just finished up the Experiencing God course. You heard all the testimonies. We're going to be doing that very shortly here. There's a 7 or 8 week study. It's going to be Thursday night from 6:30 to 8, and it's going to be, it costs me $10, $20. We're going to, date to be announced when we're actually going to be starting. It's going to be called The Forgotten God, and it's reversing our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit in our churches. By Francis Chan. And then after that, we're going to be doing a Share Jesus Without Fear. And that'll be a 4 to 5 week Bible study. And if that's not all, so many people love the Experiencing God Bible study. We will be starting another one of those. Gary just says it's a matter of when. So we're going to pray about what day. We're running out of days to do Bible studies. So maybe Friday or Sunday or something. We'll figure that out. But we'll have another one coming up. And we would encourage you to go to that. Okay, I think that's about it. Our wonderful Shepherd's Art Christian School, bless it, Lord. Okay, we have been in the book of James. We've spent the last 2 months going into James chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to don't open to James yet. We're going to do something a little different today. We've been going through James. It's like the 50 cal of the New Testament, command imperative after another. It's been amazing, amazing. And it's very in-depth in the Greek words. We love to do that. But today we're going to do something a little bit different with the message, okay? Today we're not going to go verse by verse and in depth. We're going to take a little break from James just for today, and we're just going to have a simple message but a profound message on Jesus, and this is his day. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is a wonderful day to celebrate, and so we're going to take a little bit of time today and talk about that, okay? We're going to actually just take a quick look at three people. And when I say quick look, I'm really hoping that I can do that. I'm going to do a reverse Darren. And I'm going to purposely try not to teach everything that we talk about. so that we can get through this. But we're just going to look at about five things. We're going to talk about how Jesus loves, and we're going to see that at the woman at the well, how Jesus saves. We're going to look at that in Peter and also in Luke. We're going to look how Jesus dies with Joseph of Arimathea, how Jesus rose, and about us who believe, and how Jesus reigns. And so we're going to talk about this on Resurrection Sunday. And I was reading something that kind of, it did kind of shock me a little bit. I was reading this major pastor from a major denomination, I won't get into who because that doesn't matter, was explaining in great detail how the resurrection doesn't matter. Yes, and so how the resurrection doesn't matter. And so I guess I would ask you that same question. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ really matter to us? You know what? I really love that you guys would answer so adamantly and almost be offended by that. And you know what? You should be offended by that. Yes, the resurrection absolutely matters. Yes. Listen, if just like Jonathan was singing and talking about, if the Bible says that we are bought with a price, right? It says that, right? We're bought with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Shed on that cross, correct? Right. That all of our sins were paid right then, right? That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting, right? The resurrection is almost like, I don't even know, if we were bought with that, the resurrection is like the receipt that says, hey, this indeed did happen. This is a done deal. 100% for sure. Satisfaction guaranteed. Well said, sir. You know, I've been to, I know Gary's actually going to Israel before I go now, at Gary and Mary Kate. Want to show me up, I guess. You're going in a couple months there, whatever. So they're going to beat me back to Israel, and then we're going a little later on. But, and again, whether this is the actual tomb, it matches a lot of what was said in John, but, you know, it would have been, you know, a tomb much like this, you know. And the neat thing about this little tomb in Israel, it is right outside of Golgotha. You still see, even today, you can still see the face in the quarry of a skull. You can still see it. And then in here, in this garden tomb, you still see when you go inside to look around too, and you come out, there's this little sign here. He is not here, for he is risen. And I love that. And because he lives, that means I get to live. That means I have eternal life now, and I have eternal life for eternity. That's amazing to me. So think about this. If anybody ever tells you, oh, the resurrection, no big deal, it doesn't matter, people are getting crazy in churches. I don't even know what to say anymore to folks. If the resurrection never happened, do you know what? You have zero hope. And it's not just me that says that, guys, just so you know. 1 Corinthians 15:12-14 says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, that not even Christ has been raised. And then it goes on to say, and this is powerful, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Yeah. Yeah. So don't let everyone ever tell you the resurrection is no big deal. Without it, your kids have no hope. You have no hope. But with it, we all have hope. And in fact, it says, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, it says that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead lives in each one of us. And that's what helps us. He is what helps make us make it through the day. Yes, go ahead, Mark, we bring you the mic.
So earlier you said that if we have a relationship with Christ, our eternal life starts then?
Life starts now.
Now?
Yeah, and then goes through eternity.
So we don't have to wait till we're dead to start eternal life?
Absolutely.
We can have it right now, today?
Right now. The power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. That's how we make it through this world. That's how we make it. That's how you make it in your marriage. That's how you make it as an honest businessman. That's how you make it as a man of integrity. That's how you make it as ministry workers in New College, which is probably anti-Christ. Excuse me. You know what I mean? Anti-the gospel. You know what I'm saying? That's how you make it. Do you get it?
So might I suggest that we start walking in that power now?
Absolutely. Ask him for it. Amen. Now, what we're going to do as we look through some of these, I'm going to show you a quick little video clip of each of these. And then depending on time, I'm going to read it a little bit and just have a little short comment. The first one that we're going to talk about is, since the resurrection is all about Jesus, right? The first person we're going to talk about is the woman at the well and how Jesus loves. And I love this passage. And so, George, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you show. It's like a 1 or 2 minute clip. Then we're going to open to John 4. Does everybody have a Bible, by the way? Does anybody need a Bible? Okay, Elijah, Joe, can you grab a couple of these Bibles over here? If anyone needs a Bible, just raise your hand, and Elijah and Joe will grab one for you. If you don't have a Bible, let us know, and we'll get one for you because we love you. We want you to know the Word of God for yourself. Yes, you wanted to ask a question. Okay. Can we bring the mic up here? I don't know if this, while he's doing that, it sinks. Thank you, Sof Sof.
I might stumble over my words. I'm really, what I want to say,
you can ask whatever you want.
You said, you know, we have to ask the Lord to come into our hearts and that sort of thing. And we had it the day that he was resurrected. But when you're born, I was asking Gary the other day, when you're a baby, you can't say, Lord, you don't know nothing about God. You know, just like there's tribes out there that have never even heard the word God. Mm-hmm. And so when a baby is born, mm-hmm. they never have a chance to say, hey, come into my heart, then what is it happens with that child?
I mean,
does it automatically go to heaven because it's a baby?
Okay, you know what? That is more than a one-minute answer for you. It's a good question, okay?
Because I thought you were automatically
yes,
with God
it's a good question.
Heart.
However, it's going to take a little bit of time to answer. So if you don't mind, if we can wait till afterwards, I'll sit down with you and we'll sit and take a few minutes. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So Gary, do you want to hit that? And there's a couple seats up here, right here. There's a seat here and a seat here if you guys need it. Okay. All right. George, if you'd hit that, please.
A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me some water to drink. The woman said, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water? Jesus replied, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty again. The Book of John, Chapter 4.
They say your life could change in an instant. And mine did. When a Jewish man asked me, a Samaritan, for a drink. I have been drinking from the same well for more years than I could count. For me, change seemed impossible. I didn't even want it. But the well always left me thirsty. So I came back to it. Over and over, and no one else could see me. I always came alone. Truth was, I had no husband. He told the truth. Tried to hide, but he looked right through me and met me where I was. He wasn't ashamed of me. He wasn't angry. In my life, I thought I'd experienced love. I thought I was pretty good at finding it, too. But I didn't even know what love was. on an ordinary day, I went to draw water and had a thirst quenched I didn't even know I had. I don't know if they'll believe me, but I gotta try. I gotta tell them I found the Messiah. Rather, he found me.
If you have your Bibles, if you can open to John chapter 4. And again, honestly, we could really spend just in this little passage, we could spend, you know, multiple Sundays. So I am really going to try hard and not to teach it in depth, but to really get the heart and the message and the heartbeat. Oh, Lord, my head hurts. Okay, so in John chapter 4, if you could open your Bibles there, verse 4. And if you have your own Bible, and you should, can I just encourage you, if it doesn't weird you out to do this, underline stuff, highlight stuff. Every time the Lord brings something to mind that's important, or he speaks to you in your personal time or during a sermon, if God speaks to you, underline it or highlight it and remember it. Jot it down, or maybe a verse. Elijah, can you hit that light? Turn it on for just a second. Thank you so much. Starting in John chapter 4, verse 4, and I love this. It says this, it starts off when it says in verse 4, speaking of Jesus, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Now, that's kind of interesting to me. Now, Samaria, just a quick little rundown, Samaria was a place where good, godly Jews avoided. The Samaritans were kind of in their, I don't know, and their culture and the Jewish culture were almost, they were considered like half-breeds, part Assyrians, part Babylonians, a mixture. They just weren't considered really spiritual, you know? And there's a lot of reasons for that. And so whether somewhat because of religion, some because of their race, some because of ethnicity, they avoided that. They would go a long distance to go around Samaria. Yet Jesus went to the place and to the people that everyone avoided. Now that to me is cool. Now listen, if you do the underlining things, I would underline he had to go through Samaria. To me, that's just amazing. Because one of the reasons he had to go to Samaria is because, you know what? Jesus breaks all racial, cultural, financial barriers. Jesus loves everyone. There is no racism in Christ Jesus. There's no, I don't even know. I could go on, but you get the idea. See, Jesus loves everyone. In fact, Jesus is the guy who touches the leper. Now, no one would ever touch a leper, right? Even it's an unclean thing. Yet he touched a leper. He would go and talk to the people that no one else would talk to. Some of us are those people, right? That no one else would talk to. Am I right? Yet Jesus touched us. Jesus reached out to us. Jesus came for us. Jesus came for you. That to me is amazing. He had to go. And the reason why he had to go is because he loves you. He had to go. Just like, do you remember when Jesus went to that demon-possessed man and the Gadarenes? Do you remember that? There was one guy. He was demon-possessed. He would cut himself all the time, and God healed him. He went for that person. He's going for this girl and for these Samaritans because he loves them. And so this is cool to me. Listen, he had to go. He had to go because he loved her and he loved these people. So it goes on in verse 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So that was about noon. So this Samaritan woman is coming to the well at noon. Now you wouldn't do that. If you were getting water at the well, especially in Israel, it's hot. you would go early in the morning, right? Before it's scorchingly hot and you're carrying water. It's not like we can turn on a faucet back in those days, right? But she was coming in the heat of the day. Why do you think that was? Nobody would be there. Why do you think that was?
Shame.
Shame, good. I think maybe she wanted to be alone. Maybe she didn't want anybody else to see her. Maybe she was being mocked by some of the other women, as we're going to see here in a little bit. Ridiculed, yeah. It says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, Jews wouldn't even talk to Samaritans in the first place. So it says his disciples had gone to town to buy some food. And the Samaritan woman said to him in verse 9, "You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews don't even associate with Samaritans. And Jesus asked her, "Listen, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now that is important. Back in the old days, that well or cisterns where they would get their water from, it was stagnant. Okay, living water in those days was free-flowing, like a stream. So it was always fresh and always clean. It's always renewed. And he said, he would have given you living water. The woman goes, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water, this running water, this fresh water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Verse 13 says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water," again, just from the well, says, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." She's just thinking physically, and he's trying to get her to understand spiritually that he's that fount of living water. It says, whoever. But whoever drinks that water, I love the shirts that the youth group are making, or have made, and nearly made up for us. It's taken a while to get them printed off, so that's a bummer. But it's the verse from John 3:16, and on the front it says, "I'm a whosoever," and on the back it says the John 3:16 verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life." See, that tells me that any sort of thing that you have in your mind against any sort of people group, if you're a born-again believer, needs to be thrown out the door. I'm a whosoever. He goes after everyone because he loves you, just like he went after that Samaritan woman. And it says this. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again." He's going to quench that thirst in you, that hunger in you that you've had, you're trying to fill with everything else, relationships, you name it. He's going to fill it with himself. And he goes on to say, the woman said, I can almost see her like sarcastically saying this. "Well, sir, give me that water to drink so I don't have to keep coming back here and drawing water." And he said, "Okay, all right, you're missing the point. Okay, why don't you go call your husband?" She's like, "Don't." Maybe she was being a little flirty. I don't know. It doesn't say. But it says, "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." So she's blown away. She says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet, and our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming where you will neither worship the Father on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." And he goes on to say that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And if you skip down just a little bit to verse 25, The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, called the Christ. I know he's coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And verse 26 says, Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. That's amazing to me. And actually, in the Greek, it just says I am. Anyway, jumping down to 39. She ran back, and she went back to tell the rest of the Samaritans. Just one person. And it says in verse 39, if you jump down there, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. Just because one person told what God had done for her. Just one person. It goes on to say, he told me everything he did. And verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And verse 42 says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard it for ourselves. And now we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. And so here's the thing. Jesus loved. He's loved and he's gone after you because he cares for you. He's gone after you. He's coming after you. You might as well just let him bend the knee. He cares about you. He's gone out of his way to reach you. That's amazing to me that he went out of his way to reach me. Remember where he's reaching out his hand to you. That's amazing to me. And then here's the thing. He wants you just to go tell what has been done. Go tell it. You don't have to be some fancy pastor or some fancy evangelist. You can just be a disciple of Jesus telling others what he's done for you. There is nothing more powerful than that. Matthew 28, 19 to 20 says, go and make disciples of all nations. He's telling this to all of his disciples, not pastors. Everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So go and just tell. Mark 16, 15 says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. That's what Jesus says. So he loves you now that he's come for you. And if you don't know it, he is. You go and tell everybody what he's done. You don't be ashamed of him. You remember that he loves you enough to come for you. Oh, boy. All right, we're going to speed up a little bit. Okay, the next one we're going to talk about is Jesus saves. All right, we talked about Jesus loves at the women of the well, and Jesus also saves. We're going to talk about Peter. George, would you mind queuing up that short clip on the palm fronds and on Peter? And if you wouldn't mind, would you mind hitting that? Thank you, sir.
I looked up and he was there. Just right there. Scared us at first. But then again, at this point, why were we so surprised? I guess that kind of tells you how frustrating we were to him at times. We'd seen him do so many things. Miracles. Why did we act so shocked? I asked him if I could walk to him. And when did he ever say no to us? Never. Not once. And so I got out of that boat, just hopped out of it like we were on land or something. And I felt the wind. It felt like it just went straight through me. All my confidence just slipped out of the bottom of my feet. You should have heard them when he rode into Jerusalem. I can still hear them. Hundreds just lining the streets, chanting it over and over and over and over and over and over. Hosanna in the highest. Salvation has come. And they finally felt it. They finally celebrated him. And I already knew him. I knew he is the kind of king who reaches out and pulls you up, even if you have doubts. The one who always comes to help us. The one who always saves you when you call his name. I looked up and he was there.
Now, you know what? When I kind of associate with Peter, because Peter would a lot of times kind of stick his foot in his mouth. So don't we all? I know that I can associate with that. But we talked about a lot about that than the triumphal entry last week. And Nate did a great job and so did Gary. But, you know, when they were crying, when Jesus came in and he was letting them know that he was the Messiah, we went over this last week in detail. We handed out palm fronds to everybody, right? And we were waving them around, right? That was a symbol of freedom to them, to those Jewish people. But you know what? They had the wrong idea of freedom. They were crying the right thing. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the key who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory on earth, the glory to the highest. And they were shouting that, Hosanna, it means save now, save now. But they had the wrong perspective. Remember? They wanted to be freed from these Romans. They wanted to have a better life now. Only that was their focus. Not somebody to save me from my sins. Not somebody to cleanse me for eternity. They had the wrong perspective. And it says, if you remember, and this is in Luke, and it's kind of a, I'll just read it to you. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And as they approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus did something really weird. You guys remember from last week, what did he do? Everybody's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? They're all cheering him, woo-woo, you're the man. But Jesus did something weird. What did he do? Oh, Flo, what did you say? He wept, the Bible says. And the Greek word for that, and that is he wept out loud. And it says, if you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. And it goes on to say, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They were looking for a king to make everything better for them right now. It was a self-centered, self-focused salvation. They weren't here to serve the king. They wanted to be the king. Do you know what I'm saying? And they missed the point. Jesus is a God who saves. Listen, you may not know it, but you need help. I need help. I need saving for all eternity, but I need saving daily. Lord, get me through this teaching, you know? Lord, get me through this day. Lord, help me in this situation with my kids, with my marriage. Jesus, help me. And every time you cry out to him, he is a God who saves, and he will reach down and he will grab you. That's because he's a God who loves you. Listen, the Bible says this, and I love it. Could you hit that light for a second, Elijah? Thank you. Usually Chris is here. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe you're here today and you're just, you know, you've got on your nice Easter clothes or whatever, you made it here, but in your heart, you are just stressed, you're freaked out, you're crushed. Jesus loves you. He's closer than you think. All you have to do is cry out, Jesus, will you save me? Will you help me? And he's there to help you. It says in the scripture, Psalm 34:18. It says in Daniel 6, you remember this from our study through the book of Daniel, he rescues and he saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion's den, and he will rescue you either from the boot or through the boot. He'll rescue you. He'll either rescue you from that thing or in that thing, or he'll see you through that thing to the other side. That's amazing. No matter what happens, he's with you. Always, even to the end of the age.
Is that part of the eternal life that we get to have immediately? That
is a part of that eternal life that we get to have immediately. He says, Mark, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's amazing. If you've lived this life, you know we've all had people leave us. Jesus said, I never will. I love that. In fact, the whole purpose that Jesus has come in Luke 19:10, he says, the Son has come to seek and to save. That's his whole purpose. I'm wanting to save you. That's amazing to me. Let him do it. Salvation is found in no one else, Acts 4:12 says. There is no other name given under heaven, given to men by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved other than through Jesus Christ. And Acts 2:21 says, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? That's right. If you'll bend the knee, if you will repent and turn to him, that's what he does. He's in the saving business. Listen, hear. Those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. Okay, the next person, the next thing we talk about is Jesus died. And we're going to talk about Joseph of Arimathea. And George, if you wouldn't mind.
My father once told me, privilege is the power to open doors in my life. However, that all changed the day I met a man who had great power but denied all privilege. He didn't ride in with fanfare and processional. He didn't ride in at all. He walked like everyone else. But he wasn't like everyone else. He touched the people that no one else would even look at. He ate meals with people that others felt only disdain for. Over time, I came to know him. Yet I followed him at a distance. I didn't speak up when they talked nonsense about him. I thought I loved him. But I wouldn't even step out of the shadows to follow him. My fear kept me paralyzed. Can I stay in the shadows any longer? Afraid of what people will think of me? He's dead. On that cross. At Golgotha. His body. Just hanging there. Waiting. For a soldier to take him down and throw him in a pit to be buried with criminals. But I will not let that happen. Pilate could kill me just for asking for the body. It may cost me everything. If I get Pilate's permission, then I will go get his body and place it in my tomb. I must do this one thing for him. At least this one thing. This is my tomb, where I was supposed to be buried. And today, it will be used Jesus will fill up the grave meant for me.
Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, it says in, well, it says include Nicodemus in another gospel, but in Luke chapter 23, it just talks about Joseph of Arimathea. He was a member of that council, that Sanhedrin, and he was a good and upright man, it says, and he had not consented to the decision or the action to crucify Jesus, and he's the one that came, and it says he took it. Jesus' body down, and he says he wrapped it in a linen cloth and placed it in the tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. And it says the woman who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And they went home and prepared spices and perfumes for the body. And when I think about that resurrection, and I think about even some of the things that people say about that resurrection, or I think about Christ dying, rather, I should say. You know, yes, he did die. And even for some of the disciples, even though he told them, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to raise again on the third day, they just remembered, oh, he's going to die. But you know, when I think of his death, I think of this verse, Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you. Some of you got saved younger. I got saved when I was about 30. I spent many years running away from God, talking people out of God. And then I got saved. And to think he was showing his love for me while I was still that sinner, talking people out of loving God, he still died for me. And he died for you. When it talks about Jesus rising from the dead, I'm gonna read a scripture verse to you, and it's in Philippians. Hopefully I got it here. This is in Philippians chapter 3. My Bible is a little bit in pieces here. But when Jesus rose from the dead, man, that was that stamp of approval, you know, bought, paid for, signed, sealed, delivered, okay? And I want you to know, this is what it says in Philippians. I'll start in verse 7, this is chapter 3. It says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, it's personal. He is the Lord. But can you honestly say in your heart, he's my Lord? It's personal. For whose sake I've lost all things, but I consider them rubbish, dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That's us. If you look at the born-again believers in this room, we are not perfect. Those of you who know us know that, right? But holy cow, I may not be all that I want to be because I am becoming more godly as I go through this life. But I can tell you, I am not what I was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, some of you just see me now. Oh, what a great guy. You have no idea. When I tell people about what my wife used to be or what I used to be, they're like, no way. Yes. And some of you, same way. Would you play that Jesus anthem about raising from the dead, George, that video, the Jesus anthem, if you wouldn't mind playing that for me real quick. And then I'll go for one more.
Jesus.
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 How sweet the sound, how magnificent the name,
how miraculous the sacrifice
that changed the world forever.
Celebrated as the King with cheers, excitement, laughter.
He's coming. He'll save us.
But
But then the darkness knocked on his door.
He opened it. He let it in.
He didn't save himself from torture or death.
This was his blood.
This was his body
poured out for everything I'd ever done.
He was laid in total darkness.
We were alone, without hope.
We thought it was over. Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
There is no grave that can hold him.
That immovable stone moved.
Dark grave filled with light.
He came back for me. He overcame everything I couldn't.
My sin, the grave meant for me.
The penalty that I was supposed to take.
The end of me
now has a beginning.
His triumph,
his death,
his reign,
his heart.
He conquered death.
And the miracle that was meant for the whole world
is also the miracle just for me.
Just for me.
Just for me.
Jesus. How sweet the sound.
This little boy that we were taking care of, I don't even remember now. That's kind of sad now. But Mom and Dad were in some bad trouble. And anyway, they were at our house staying with us for the time. And they didn't know much of anything about the Lord. And I remember this kid just really struggling. And then I just remember having him on my knee. And I just was, you know, hugging him. He's like, I had a cross. It was a wooden cross, you know, those, not a fancy one, just regular wooden cross. And he says, wait a minute. He said, Jesus isn't on your cross. And I said, no, son. I said, he's not. And he kind of paused and he looked down for a little bit. And it was almost like the Lord spoke into his heart. And he said, you know, I think I know why that is. And I said, because again, this family, it was really messed up, these poor, anyway. And I said, what, son? I said, what do you think the reason for that is? He's not on that cross because he's alive. He's risen. He's no longer on that cross because he rose from the grave. That's why. I was like, oh. That is why. Yes. Right, son. That's exactly it. He's risen. He's risen to give us new life, you new life, whoever wants it, whoever would follow him. That's amazing to me. The resurrection is important. There's a verse. It's more than this life. It's forever. 1 Corinthians 15:19-20 says, if in Christ we only have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I don't serve a dead God. I serve the living God. He lives in my heart. I talk to him. I speak with my Lord. I read his word daily. I get infused with him, strength, encouragement, empowering. I love my Lord. That's the risen Lord that I serve. And I want you, and he wants you to know him in that same way. Oh yeah, I read this one already. I count everything as a loss because of surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus. Who's Lord? Is he? And then the last one is Jesus reigns. Okay, yeah. George, will you send that, play that video? Or just give me a scripture.
It's hard to be judged for one mistake, but it's what I'll be remembered for, I guess. I wasn't always the doubter. That's not who I am. I have a zeal for Jesus. I always have. When Lazarus died, no one wanted to return to Bethany with Jesus. The atmosphere there was volatile and dangerous. Jesus said he'd show us his glory. I assumed we'd all die there. Still, I'm the one who said, let's go. But then came this room. That night. At the time, none of us understood as we sat at that table. This is my body. This is my blood. He raised the dead. He cast out demons even. What could he possibly mean? I didn't doubt it when they told me he was dead. But how can you not doubt someone coming back to life? Some didn't doubt, but for me it was harder. Maybe it was just that I didn't want to be disappointed. Many came after me who believed without seeing what I saw. Jesus called them blessed. Yes, I touched the place of the nails, the hole in his side. Such definitive proof that I cried out, my Lord, my God. But that wasn't the only amazing thing. The Almighty One, he came back for me. He didn't want to leave me behind in my doubt. He says, I'm worth that, and I'll follow him anywhere for the rest of my life.
You know, I feel like the Lord was giving me a verse in 2 Corinthians. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I love that, how he reigns. And we show that he reigns by our lives too. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, of course, most people know that one that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is in new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. But there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, that says this: if Jesus Christ died for all, then those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I think that would be the challenge. If you are born again, believer in Jesus Christ, and you've chosen to follow him, then you follow him for the rest of your life. And you no longer should live to please yourself, but for him, Jesus, who died for them and was raised again. Something was said, Jesus said when Lazarus was reborn. I love that. At the time, he didn't raise Lazarus from the dead yet, but he was talking to Martha, and he told her, he said, I am, ego a me. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, like everyone else, will live again. They are given eternal life for believing in me and will never perish. And then he asked a question, which I thought was really interesting. Do you believe this, Martha? And I think that same question would go for you. Do you really believe this? No one can answer that question but you and him. No one could. I've believed it, and honestly, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ who lives within me. I'd like to ask Gary and Jonathan, can you come up for just a minute? And Sof, where are you, sweet pea? Can you bring up that mic? Here, just have you guys have a seat. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Would you give that mic to them, sweetheart? Thank you. What we're going to do next week, we'll get back into the book of James so that we can learn to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And we'll go back into the in-depth teaching, and we're going to go all the way through the book of James, verse by verse. But today's message, I think, was a special message for some of us here. And so what I'd like to do, Gary, if it was okay, I'd like Jonathan just to share and give just a gospel message. I mean, it's up on the screen if you need any help. But Gary, and then I would like you, if you would close us all out on a resurrection Sunday, He is risen prayer, if you don't mind closing us out. Is that okay? Thanks, Gary.
So Jesus loves and Jesus saves. Jesus saves. What does He save from? He saves from guilt. He saves us from sin. He saves us from shame. He saves us from death, eternal death, spiritual eternal death. He has saved us from that kind of death. He saves us from the control of the world. He saves us from the power of the enemy. He saves us from all these things. And what does He give us? He gives us freedom, right? We're free. We can be free from all these things that He saved us from. We need to live out that freedom. Who here wants to be truly free? Raise your hand. We all want to be truly free, right? Who here wants to be truly clean from all the filth of our sin and from this world, to be truly forgiven of all our sins? And all you got to do is just believe. And not just simple believe like, oh, I believe, but like an actual trust. Like, I believe and I trust in Jesus' sacrifice to pay for my sins. I trust in Him to redeem me. And I trust in Him completely. Nothing else. I trust in His life, His death, His resurrection. Belief that is trusting in His lordship, that He is Lord of our lives. That He not only saved us, but He redeemed us for Himself. That He would truly live through us. He gave us His Spirit, right? His Holy Spirit that can live inside of us, that can help us to live this life as He created us to live it out. And so we need to believe. And when we believe, He gives us the right to be children of God. We are His children. He gives us His Spirit to give us the resurrection power, right, that we're talking about. This resurrection power that lives inside of us so that we can live the life that He gave us. This abundant life that we can have right now, this eternal life right now. And so we want to just take this time, and I think God wants to give us all the opportunity right now to truly come to Jesus. And all of us need to come to Jesus. We might be coming to Him for the first time to really trust in His salvation, to really trust in Him for that. Or some of us need to just come to Him and trust Him with more of our lives, right? We're holding on to things, you know, we're holding on like this. And some of you this morning just need to let go of these things and say, God, I want You to take control of this. I've been holding on to it too long, and I want You to be Lord of my life. And so I'm going to let Gary pray for us that we can make that decision to trust in Jesus for the first time or to trust in Him to be Lord of our lives.
Father God, we thank You that the resurrection changes everything, Lord. Lord, we thank You that it changes our relationship with You, Lord. It changes our relationship with each other. It changes our today. It changes our eternity, Lord. Father, now I ask that any that would not, that do not already know You, Lord, that want those changes in Your life, Lord, that they would, in our phrase, bend the knee, Lord, but that they would accept You, recognize that You are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that You did buy their redemption, that You did reconcile them to God. And so if that be you, just join me in prayer. Father God, I come to You and I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I need Your grace. I need Your forgiveness. I need to celebrate Your resurrection. I need you, Lord, and I accept you. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. And Father, I ask that all of us, that today is a celebration, and that, but that we would celebrate tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday on all the rest of our lives, Lord God, and that that celebration would be that we would live for you, that we would truly be your body, that we would take your word to the world, that we would be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is in us, Lord God, that people would see us carrying your presence through the Holy Spirit that that Jesus left when he returned to heaven, Lord, that they would see that on us and ask what it is that we have, Lord, because they want it. Because as the questions that Jonathan asked, we all want to be free. We all want to be clean, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to die. We thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to be resurrected and return to heaven and leave us the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. He is risen indeed.